Hello and welcome to Tony Brew Ministries. Here's a message from John chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. The title is Inclusion Without Catering.
There's a scripture that's been gnawing at me for a good while, just a phrase in John chapter 2, and it says Jesus did not commit himself to them. Jesus did not commit himself to them. Now, I want to talk to you about inclusion without catering. Inclusion without catering. This is John chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. Now, when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Our generation must experience the mighty moving of God's miracle-working power, coupled together with the preaching and teaching of the gospel, so they can believe on the name of Jesus and be saved. That's the only hope. That's the only salvation that we have. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only answer that we have. We can try to find it in philosophy. We can try to find it in education. We can try to find it in reform and rehabilitation and all these things that you can mention. But Jesus is the only way. In fact, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In him is salvation, and in him alone is salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We have to believe on him just like they did here at the Passover. And this is a wonderful scripture because it's not just a historical thing that you read over. It says that in Jerusalem, at the Passover, on the feast day, many believed in his name. Jesus is our Passover. It's not just saying, well, once upon a time in Jerusalem, they had a Passover and Jesus was there and some people believed. That's the way that you might casually read the Bible, but the real big thing is he was at Passover, the Passover, was there on Passover, and he was there on the feast day when Pilate was trying Jesus, and they had Jesus before Pilate, and the priests, chief priests and elders, all the scribes, they say, we want to put him to death, but not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Their plan was to try to get around and trick and make a way so that they could bring him in by craft and put him before Pilate, make a way where all the people would be on their side. Boy, it sounds so much like the political and the economic things and things that are going on in our world right now, doesn't it? And they were doing that. The whole trial, the whole thing was a mock. The whole thing was a setup to try to go with their own agenda, and that's what they ended up doing. But Jesus, here on the feast day, many believed on him. And on the feast day, when he was crucified, they said, not on the feast day. We don't want to do it on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Well, when was he tried? When was he crucified? Right on the feast day, just like God's plan and determinate counsel had already determined beforehand. God had it set up to where, yeah, they got to do what they want to do. But God's plan still came into being. His will was still done. That is, Jesus would die exactly on Passover because he is our Passover sacrifice. So him being in Jerusalem that day on Passover and on the feast day and many believing in him was not just a coincidence. It was a big landmark. It was a big thing to know that people believed on Jesus. Anytime people believe in Jesus is a wonderful thing. But when you believe on Jesus on Passover, on the feast day, that was a big thing indeed. And it says when they saw the miracles that he did, and Jesus there was performing miracles. Jesus, the next verse said, did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Even though they were believing on him. And any time you have excitement. Anytime you have revival, when people believe on the Lord, we call it revival. It should be a normal thing for people to be being saved and coming to the Lord, and Christians to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. It should be a normal thing. It should be a part of the Christian life. When people are healed and blessed, that should be a normal thing. That should not be something out of the ordinary. It should be a normal thing for people to be healed and blessed. People believed on the Lord. We get this idea that Jesus, and the scripture does say he was a man of sorrows. He's acquainted with grief. And we get the idea that just because he was that he had never had any joy in his life. He went through just dragging around and always burdened down and had all these burdens and cares on him all the time. And he went to the cross and he died. He never had a happy moment in his life. The scripture tells us the contrary to that. It tells us the opposite of that. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 said we should look to Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Yes, he had a lot of sorrow. He had a lot of temptation. He carried the sin, the load, the sickness of the whole world on himself. But he had joy. He had joy unspeakable and full of glory. He had joy that we're just getting a little taste of now. He had joy, and that joy that was set before him allowed him and helped him and permitted him to endure the cross, despise the shame. He despised all that shame and all that torture and agony that was in the cross. He went through that for us, and he endured it not just for us, but because of the joy that was set before him. What was that joy that was set before him? Well, he knew that he would make it. He knew he would go back to the Father. And he knew that somebody somewhere, just a bunch of Mill Hill folks and country folks and city folks and rich folks and poor folk, he knew that somebody somewhere would listen to his name and believe on his name, just like they did there in Jerusalem on Passover, that they believed on the name of Jesus. He knew that there would be somebody somewhere that would believe on his name. Praise God. And he didn't allow those who would not believe. He didn't allow those who would choose to go to hell. He didn't allow those who would choose to remain sick. He didn't allow any of that to stop him from going all the way and doing what he did for us. He did it for us. And he did it because he loved us. And he did it, and he wouldn't have it any other way. He didn't allow anything to turn him around. Isaiah said, I set my face like a flint, and I went all the way. The Pharisees, who were wicked and tried constantly to tempt Jesus, to trap him in his words, they knew more in some cases than many church folk do. They said, we know that you do not respect the person of man. That's what they told Jesus. We know that you do not respect the person of man. Jesus, even though many were believing on him in this Passover in Jerusalem, they were excited about the miracles. They were excited about the teaching. They were excited about him, and they were believing in his name. And he could have just said, okay, I'll just settle down here, and we'll have our ministry headquarters here. They saw the miracles that Jesus did, and they were excited about the things that Jesus did. But it says he did not commit himself to them. He did not allow himself to be bound by their group. He did not cater to some certain somebody. He continued to love everybody, and he was open to everybody, inclusion without catering. He did not cater to them just because they believed on him, just because they were excited about the miracles. He did not allow himself to be bound by them. And this is so important now. We should include everybody in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should include everybody in the things of God. But we cannot allow ourselves to be bound by one particular group, to be bound by one particular color, to be bound by one particular denomination. We've got to be open to all. Jesus was open to everyone, but he was not bound to anyone. He did not allow himself to be confined in the box of anybody. This does not mean, just because he does not respect the person of men, this does not mean that Jesus does not respect people. He does respect people, and he even does a whole lot better than that. He loves us to the point of laying down his life for us and calling us friends instead of just servants. He said, I've called you friends. The servant does not know what's going on. He does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. Greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And now you and I, we're even better than friends. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. He includes everyone who wants to be included. But he does not cater to the demands of self-serving people like you and I. People who refuse to obey and serve him have no right to make any demand of him whatsoever. All these people want God to do this. Where is God? Why about God? Why didn't God do this? But they're not committed to serve God. They're not committed to the Lord. If you don't love the Lord, if you don't serve the Lord, you have no right to make any demand of him whatsoever. And that doesn't mean that those who do not serve God are not blessed. Those who do not serve God, many of those who were healed in that day, many of them were not saved, and some of them became believers. But Jesus never said, he never had a criteria, as I read in the New Testament, he never said, somebody came to him for healing, and he said, okay, let's see now. Let me see what you did in your past. Let me see what kind of generational curse you've had. Let's see, your grandfather did this. See if you smoked any dope. See if you've taken any pills. See if you've hurt anybody. See if you've done anybody wrong. Let's see, well, I don't think you're a black man. You're a white man. Oh, I don't think you're eligible to be healed because you got all this going on. Jesus never did any of that. He never put any criteria of that of healing. If you were sick, you're eligible to be healed. If you're sick, you need a doctor. He said, if you're not sick, you don't need the doctor. If you're sick, you need the doctor. If you're righteous, you don't need a savior because you already got one. But if you're in sin, you need a savior. Jesus healed him. He didn't ask questions. He already knew everything anyway, but he didn't want to know all that. He didn't have to know all that. He didn't have to know the generational curse. He didn't have to know what your grandma did. He didn't have to know any of that. He just said, if you're sick, be well. If you need blessing, be blessed. And that's the way he is now. Those who want to serve him, those who obey him, of course they're blessed. But everyone is blessed. He heals and he saves whosoever will. He didn't say, well, this person gave a lot of money. I better heal him or her because they've given a lot of offerings. But I can't heal this person over here because they don't have anybody to help them or they don't have anything to give. Jesus never did that. He never conditioned our salvation or our healing or our blessing on how much we give, how much we didn't give, what we did, what we didn't do. It's all about him. For him to even acknowledge us at all is far more than we will ever deserve. It said he did not commit himself to them. Because he did not need that anybody would testify of man. He didn't need anybody to tell him, now look here, Jesus, this guy over here is a real special guy. He's done this and he's done that. He's given this much money. He's did that, thus and so. This lady over here, she's a fine lady. She drives two cars and she has all these dresses and she can do this and that. And they got a big fine house and all this is going on in their life. Jesus never had to have any of that. He didn't have to have us to testify, well, they've been in sin for so many years. They've been in bondage so long. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how long you've been in sin. It doesn't matter how long you've been in bondage, because Jesus will set you free. It's not our merit. It's not what we've done. Not according to the works of righteousness which we have done. But according to his own mercy, he saves us with the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, who he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. God blesses us not according to our merit, but according to his divine mercy and grace. And he did not need that anybody would testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Jesus knows the good, the bad, the ugly. He knows what's in mankind. He knows what's in woman. He knows what's in children. He knows what's in people. He did not commit himself to a particular person. And I could say to us, he does not commit himself to us. And we think that, well, we serve God, we love God, and he's committed to us. No, it's not that he's committed to us. We have to be committed to him. He didn't come down here. He did come for us, but he didn't come to commit himself to us. He came to do the Father's will. He said, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He came to do the Father's will. He came on a mission, business from the King. And that's who he is. That's what he came to do. He came to include everybody, but not to cater to anyone. So much is going on in our society right now. The police, the military, the government, the nation, the media especially, all these people are catering to certain people. And what about catering, if you want to cater to somebody, what about catering to Jesus Christ? They're trying to take down all the statues that represents Jesus in a certain way. Well, we know that those statues are not Jesus. That's not Jesus, but that's what it represents. The subtle attempt used to be subtle attempt. Now it's a bold attempt. They're bold and brash. They're trying to take the name of Jesus off of the airways and out of the internet and off of the radio and off of the printed page and out of the literature. They're trying to do away with it. You'll never do away with it because God has given him a name that's above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. He did not commit himself to them because he did not need that anybody tell him about man, because he knew man. He knew what was in man. He knows all about us. He does not have to commit himself to us. We need to be saved and get right with God, to be sanctified, to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our heart and life, and then we'll be committed to him. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to present this word to your people today. I pray that you would encourage us with these few verses from John chapter 2 and help us to know that we are included. But you do not cater to anyone. You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're the God of the Jews. You're the God of the Gentiles. You're the God of the red, yellow, black, and white. We're all precious in your sight. But we must come one way. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Lord, we pray that you would kill the spirit of evil, the spirit of prejudice. We pray that you would kill the spirit of hate that would go on right now, that you would bind that. In Jesus' name, and we bind it in your name, Lord. We pray that you would give us the same power that you had, and you have done that. And we pray that we would act on it. We would operate in the Spirit. Help us, Lord, to include everybody, but not to cater to anyone, because that's what you did. And we love you, and we receive that example in our life today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from John chapter 2. Verses 23 through 25. The title has been Inclusion Without Catering. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.